do you go?
When all that you see
are actors on your television singing off key.
What savvy, well-versed heroes can settle the
score?
Once more with TV.
Welcome, warriors and princesses, to the season finale of Once More with TV, a podcast celebrating TV musical episodes from the sublime to the subprime.
And definitively ranking them using every theater child's worst nightmare, math.
I'm your co-host, Liza Trucial, she, her, and I am a horn section enthusiast.
Ooh, and I'm your co-host, Alex Kovnatsky, he, him, and I am a Lucy Lawless enthusiast.
God, aren't we all? Well, joining us this week, we have an extra special guest, Austin Taylor. He, they, she is an award-winning game writer, designer, performer, and friend. When not doing any of that, they're one half of your other favorite niche nerd podcast, Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries, over on Maximum Fun. Austin, welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you.
I'm so happy to be here, and I'm so glad that Alex said something. You're like, I'm a horn enthusiast. I was like, I don't know what that. Hi, what's up? I'm a fake musical girly.
Amazing.
I'm the musical girly who watches like a Disney movie. It's like, oh, it could be like a stage play. And all the real musical people are like, oh, honey. I'm like, that could be like on Broadway. Right? And they're like, no.
We love.
Hey, a lot of Disney staged musicals have done extremely well commercially.
That's nice. Yeah. You know, that's
so commercial. Frozen is like the only. Yeah, commercially.
I'm like, that's what I'm saying. Commercially. Oh, you're saying the same. No, it's okay. I'm basic. I get it. I watched Wish and I was like, this could be a great musical. And I watched this one else. They're like, these are pop songs and it's okay, but you're incorrect.
It's the Lin-Manuel Miranda effect that is like emanating into all of Disney's properties right now. It's really quite intense.
They want him for everything so bad. And
they,
you know,
do.
What? I get it.
I totally get it too.
He plays, but he costs, they made him cost real money now, which is so funny. They did it to themselves.
Oh my God, I know. They catapulted him and now they're literally paying the price.
They're like, Lin costs how much now? When did that happen? Well, you got him all those Oscars and Grammys. Oh, right. Shit, God, okay.
Damn it.
Capitalism is working against us? That's not how it's supposed to work.
We're the Disney Corporation. That doesn't make any sense.
Disney has nothing to do with what we're talking about today. I'm so sorry I did this.
Okay.
I do this to my show too.
It's perfect. No, we're looking at season 3, episode 12 of Xena, titled The Bittersweet. Came out February 2nd, 1998. Austin, I would love to know what your relationship is to Xena.
So I have vague echoes of memories of watching Xena as a youth. I knew Xena existed. I knew I liked Xena more than Hercules, which that should have told me something.
Yes. All of us on this chat,
I was like, Hercules is cool. I was like, I don't know. Xena, something about Xena just like speaks to me. You know, I don't know what it is. You're gay.
Yeah, I just can't put my finger on it.
I just can't. Something about seeing Xena and Gabriella just like really speaks to me. I
just
don't know.
Look
what
at each other intensely.
They're yearning.
There's a lot of yearning. Yeah.
So that's mostly it for Xena. For my relationship to Xena, is like, I know like Lucy Lawless is cooler than whoever played Hercules. I know that guy sucks. I don't remember his name.
I don't
really remember names of white men.
As a principle,
excellent policy.
like, what's your name again? Ted? I don't know.
It's probably Ted.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was Ted.
But I, being who I am as a person, I watched this for the show and then proceeded to learn everything I could about Xena Warrior Princess.
That's correct.
So I went from vague memories of Xena to I need to know everything about Xena and now have an intense attachment to her after now one full episode I can recall in my head.
Because
everything else is just like vague memory.
I could not agree more with basically everything you just said. It's insane. I haven't watched Xena, which is ridiculous because it's so up my alley that it's basically my home address. Like, it's wild that I haven't participated. I think, like, I absorbed some through osmosis. Like, it was very present, especially because I was a Buffy fan. And so, like, Buffy was, like, often referenced in the same, like, you know, sentence as, like, ass-kicking women on TV, like, you know, that also, again, something about me, like what I'm very interested in. But yeah, I think because of really timing, I ended up more on Buffy because Buffy was just a little bit later and therefore like more available. So Xena kind of disappeared. But yeah, after watching this, I am now extremely passionate about this television program.
Now that I know I can easily watch all of Xena, I will be doing it. I did not remember episodes were almost an hour. Like, I won't lie, I sat down to watch it and I was like, oh yeah, I'll watch this like 25, 30 minute thing really quick. And then I'll like go, I have like some deadlines. I'll go like do some writing. And I started, it was like 44 minutes and 50 seconds. Oh, I mean, I'll watch this and go to bed.
And there's a lot of episodes and a lot of seasons too. So there's a whole lot of Xena.
Alex, had you ever seen it before?
So I'd watched a little bit of Xena, kind of the same as both of you were saying, but I'd watched a little bit of Xena. My biggest memory was there was an animated movie called Xena and Hercules, Battle for Mount Olympus, and I loved that movie, and it also kind of scared me. But I had it on VHS, and like the beginning was just trailers for Hercules and Xena, the separate TV shows. And I remember watching the trailer for the Xena TV show a lot because it did something for me at a young age.
Hey, we all get it.
Listen, Lucy Lawless, I couldn't take my eyes off of her. I was like, wait, I have to focus on the plot. I need to take notes.
Listen, she has lots of great plot on her body. There's incredible lots plot. Of plot happening. Incredible plot.
I'm really admiring the costumes.
There's multiple
you can see
plots.
That costume in the museum.
Really?
Whoa,
Xena,
that's cool.
She donated, she got the Xena costume when they were done, as like they give people stuff from the set. And I'm sure there are many of the Xena costumes that were made over time through production, but whatever one she had when she was done filming, she gifted to, oh God, it's like, I think it's the American Museum of Costuming or something has it now.
Yeah,
wow. You can go see it. The costume and her prop weapons and everything are there.
God, that's so rad.
Speaking of costumes, the costume and design reference throughout this whole episode, there's so much written about this episode. The research was crazy. But apparently the costuming was specifically tailored to specific tarot cards that have their own meanings. And there's like tarot imagery throughout the whole episode. It's kind of wild.
Wow.
It was really nuts because I noticed it. Because I don't really go here, but I have a lot of people in my life who do. And so like they put Xena in one that was like the Empress, I think, or something.
Yeah, the High Priestess, yeah.
Yeah, the High Priestess. I recognize that one and the Hanged Man.
Those are like so
that
obvious.
That is so specific. And I was like, okay, a man is hanging like with his leg in the little like tree pose position. Like that is specific. Yep. Then he's running around like a goddamn jester.
I couldn't tell you what it meant. Even a little bit. Idea what those tarot cards mean. Or the order. Like, I know, I saw, like, there's a specific order they were introduced in. I was trying to read it because it's also from a specific tarot book that they're referencing. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, reading it, and I was like, my brain is unraveling rapidly. I understand the facts of what you're saying, but they're, like, not telling me the context of what they're saying.
Yep.
And I'm like, I don't have the time to go study tarot to understand what this episode is saying.
Yeah, I had completely the same experience. Like, it's inspired by specific tarot decks, which have their own symbolic meaning in, like, the pantheon of tarot. And then, like, each of them transition between different kinds of tarot cards. Shout out, Victoria Meredith wrote, like, a whole blog post about this that's really in-depth and really was over my head. But it was awesome that it exists.
Well, I mean, we should just get into this episode for real. Like, this is, it's first of all, like, I don't know that I knew how metal this show was when it started.
No, literally, like, I was like, they're like the gay warrior ladies,
yeah,
right?
Question mark? That was what I came in with. I was like, okay, these two women are in love. This episode, they hate each other. So that was interesting. I was really thrown.
It's so weird because it's such a big, feels like such an important episode in the lore of Xena
is exactly. happening.
And it's just like some musical episode.
Hugely, right? Because like, so they hate each other. Something. The previously on was very vague. But I guess something about Gabrielle's daughter and Xena's son, it resulted in the death of both of those children. Xena has blamed Gabrielle. Their relationship is poisoned. They've had massive falling out. Xena's gone to the dark side, I guess. She's like back with Ares, who has the craziest facial hair of anyone. It's insane.
It feels like they're trying to reference that's like the facial hair people would give like the devil a lot.
Right.
Feels like that's what they're referencing.
Yeah, he's
like
so evil. I mean, he's so evil coded. It's just unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, like, she runs into this. First of all, where are we? Are we, like, does anybody
know? It's a good question. That's a great question.
I mean, I know we're in New Zealand.
Greece, question mark?
But
maybe.
Yeah, because, like, she's up on that mountain screaming.
She's on the mountain in the winter screaming. And then Gabrielle is, like, in a village having light BDSM treatment. Hey, listener. I'm not exaggerating. She's like full ass naked getting like flogged. And I'm like, what is going on?
It's a purification ritual.
Truly the only thing she's wearing is a CGI tear that comes across her face. That's it.
Oh my god. I really I wasn't expecting the nudity in this at all.
Oh, yeah.
There's a
lot of it. And like just to go up Gabrielle's body, I'm like, her ass for free?
Yeah.
Actually, I paid $189 for this episode because I live in England. But I was like, what is going on here?
It was once again like, I'm like, this aired on basic cable.
Yeah.
Are you sure? What was going on in 1998, guys? We got ass on TV.
We got a lot of ass. A lot of ass. But yeah, so I don't know. But 5 minutes after Xena is atonally screaming on a mountaintop, she's back in the Amazon, like in a tropical wherever it is that Gabrielle is. There is a lot of, I had subtitles on because I basically always do. And like, the number of things that were used to describe like all of the war cries that these women made.
Yeah.
It was ululating. Yeah. It was shriek. Ululating. It was whoop. It was cry. It was grunt. Like it was like.
I mean, Xena's
really
in particular is iconic. Like that is an iconic soundbite. And
absolutely.
It was delightful to hear it.
It was so fun. But yeah, she fights all of these Amazons like immediately and then drags Gabrielle by
that was
her
crazy.
Feet on
the And I need to stress, there's no way that a simple loop tie like that would bind someone well enough to drag
Great
them
point.
Anywhere. You gotta practice better ties, everybody, okay?
And nobody ask why Austin knows that, you guys. It's not important.
It's really not
why
important.
Austin
it
knows
really...
how to drag someone behind a horse, okay?
It
We're
really
not worried
important.
About it.
Stop looking into it.
Dragging anyone in any fashion in a I understand she wasn't trying to do it in a safe way, but if your intention is to drag someone off and getting out, like come on now. Like you gotta
listen,
get up in
nothing
there.
Nothing about that was safe. Like eight times I was like, this woman is dead. Like there's no way that she has any skin left on her back. She's like she takes out like a fence at one point, she goes into a boulder at another. I'm like,
it's
she's
nuts.
Dead.
Like it's
this
nuts.
This
and
is
the
murder.
Faceless and lawless mix for the whole scene is deranged.
Yeah.
It is crazy how often she's smiling when she's fighting. It's like she has two modes, smiling and vicious, and those are the only presets.
It was wild. And then of course she screams vengeance over her head and is going to throw her off of a cliff. I'm like, this is 5 minutes.
I have no notes. That was perfect for me.
Listen, I won't lie, I wish it was me. Lisa Wallace, if you can lift people above your head still, I'm available. But it was just nuts because, like, again, I went in like, aren't these ladies like, why? What is that?
I know. Yeah. Really confusing.
Also, the idea of like, again, while watching, I was reading everything good about Xena. I was like, okay, I know they come back from this. I frankly don't know if I could come back from someone dragging me behind a horse.
Great point.
Picking me
great
up point. Over their head, yeah. Screaming vengeance, about to throw me off a cliff. I don't know if I can, like, maybe you could, like, apologize to me. I don't know if I forgive you.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that friendship is over, you know? We'll run into each other at someone else's party and sort of nod, but we're not hanging out on our own.
It's behind me now. I am not hanging out with you, but it is behind me now.
I just like the idea that for Gabrielle, this is just the hazards of hanging out with Xena. Like, that's just Xena being Xena. She'll be back.
She needs therapy. We haven't invented it yet, so what can you do?
That's just Xena. She's an Aries.
Damn.
I mean, that is what gets us into the musical, right?
Yes.
I mean, we tumble together off of the cliff, and now we're in a musical.
We're also naked.
We're also again important.
it feels
Callisto
like it
gives
takes
a breath of life that is just a light kiss on the lips, and then someone adds ADR of like a whoosh sound, and I'm like, okay, ladies kissing, all right.
Yeah, we get our first song, which, by the way, the songs for this are so hard to know what the titles are, because they're a mashup of like a bunch of different songs happening at once. This one, I think, is technically What's Still Unwritten. And actually, a question for y'all. Did either of you notice any dubbing at any point in this episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
it's not super subtle.
It's not great.
Do you know which characters get dubbed?
Well, Callisto is this one, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a very distinct line between the actress doing her talk singing and then suddenly it's a Broadway level vocal.
Exactly.
Like, those are different voices.
Yeah. Gabrielle is also dubbed.
Gabrielle did not sound
her
like
lip
Gabrielle.
Flap didn't hit.
It didn't hit.
So
it didn't hit super well. I think they did a good enough job as they possibly could with dubbing, and I think the actors did a decent job faking it. But it was noticeable for me too. But how do you both feel about dubbing for singing in general? Because I had a weird back and forth in my head of like, do I like this or do I don't like this?
I personally think it's okay in that I don't know who saw like Les Mis and decided they needed a musical episode this season. But like, you know, part of it wasn't like they signed up for like a musical TV show, right? Like they signed up for a show. And so I think it's okay to be like, yeah, I'm not a singer. Like there are a lot of like Lucy Lawless like sang for hers and she did pretty good. And I feel like there's a lot of actors that can maybe carry a tune if they're classically trained, just because like it's something you learn. But there's also just as many people who can't that act they're like, I'm an actor. I'm not like a musical person or a Broadway person or whatever. So
totally.
I think it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a thing where you can't ask everyone in the world to be a triple threat, you know? Like, these people signed up to be on a television show where they were acting. A lot of them seem to have movement experience, like even this Callisto girl, she was doing like a lot of like nice dance work and stuff like that, and that makes sense for a show that also has like a lot of heavy like fighting and other kind of movement choreo that's going on. But yeah, not everyone's a singer. I think something we talk about a lot is I don't need someone to be the best singer if they're just like committing and trying. But I also, if someone doesn't want to sing because that's not a comfortable space for them, I'm glad they're given an avenue to like still be in the episode and still be an important part of the show. So if Gabrielle's like, I'm just not a singer and I do not want to do that, you know, might as well get someone really good who can also have a moment to shine, right? So it's a bit of a pity that they're not like on screen ever, like the person that is actually singing, someone else is being kind of credited with it. But I mean, I don't like 100% love it as a choice, but I do understand it and I want to give them some grace.
Yeah, I think it's also a product of the time a little bit too, where a lot of Disney musicals will have like Mulan is Ming-Na Wen for the voice, but Lea Salonga for the singing. And I think this is maybe like the first really big musical episode of TV. I know people often give that to Buffy, but this one comes a little bit before then. But yeah, shout out both of those singers. I think they do a good enough job trying to match the character's voice, but it is a little bit noticeable. The one who does Callisto, by the way, is Michelle Nicastro, who is Amanda Reese in When Harry Met Sally, which is just a fun callback of the lady who's just making out with Harry in the very beginning of that movie.
Good for her.
This song is crazy, though. Can we talk about the song?
Oh, you mean the one where a Shih Tzu starts singing? I lost my mind. This was a wild song. So we're being welcomed to Illusia, the musical world. What is it? Illusia is music, a world built on rhyme. It's carved out of space in the absence of time. Whatever that means. There's a lot of puppetry going on. A dog sings. We've got like that Anubis thing. I really, at one point here, I just had to surrender. I was like, there's no way that I am going to absorb all of what's happening right now. It's too insane. So I'm just going to sit back and let it wash past me.
Yeah, I had to listen to it multiple times. It was difficult to grasp onto anything. There's also so many instruments and so many musical themes that they transition in and out of, which I actually kind of loved. It was a bit messy, but I loved it. And they like incorporate different kinds of cultural sounds at different points, which is like, you know, I have a little bit of mixed feelings about that, but I like the swing a lot.
Mm. Yeah, we've got like a lot of instruments going on. There's like a insane, almost like it's really over the top. It almost felt like Looney Tunes shit at yeah. like random yeah. times. I was like,
that
what
circle
is
didn't
going
help.
The circle, the animal, the fates. They kept showing them every time they said, we're the fates and we control your, I don't remember.
Yeah, whatever.
And I was like, are these meant to be the fates? Why are the fates like reject Hanna-Barbera sound? Like, every time it went to them, it was like, have you ever seen a Looney Tunes show tone? Mm-hmm. Here you go.
It was like, welcome to the Animaniacs.
Like, I was like,
absolutely wild.
It made me have a hard time like, understanding the tone. I was like, okay,
yeah,
I'm like, is this Callisto like just messing, like is she just bored, is she helping? I don't get what your vibe is. You're dressed like a jester.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dressed like a little Peter Pan. Like
you're kind
around.
Of hot, but you're kind of silly. Like, what is yeah. going on here?
It was Callisto, very, it was very it was very sexy Christmas elf, and yeah. it yeah. was it was hard to figure out what her motivations were. Also, was she the same blonde woman that like appeared to Gabrielle when Gabrielle was being whipped by that guy in the mask?
No, I think that was her daughter.
Is that a different blonde woman? Oh, no.
I think that's okay. her daughter, Hope.
Oh, boy.
Dead now, question yeah, well, mark.
I know she like wasn't really there, right? Anyway, whatever.
Whatever.
I was confused by whoever Callisto is and whatever she wants here. Like, I couldn't quite understand what she was doing. She does seem to later when she's like talking to Xena about like, you have to let go. She seems to be wanting for mm-hmm. some reason to help them on their emotional journey. But then we don't see her again after that. So like, why was
she's
she
also
here?
Like, you have to sing. Lots of people say throughout a lot of the opening numbers, like, you have to it. Fucking sing.
You gotta do it.
That's what a man named Joxer does in a second. That's a crazy name for a person.
It's a crazy name.
Also, that guy, like, I don't know how to describe this, except he has like such a contemporary face. I was yes. like, you mm-hmm. are from 1998. Yes. I will say a lot of the choices on this show are like very distinctly 1998, but like he had a 1998 face. I was like, you can't exist in another time. Like, that doesn't work for you.
The way he talked, I was like, you are not in this show. You're like a man who was isekai'd
exactly. into, in,
not onto the set, but you were isekai'd into the actual Xena show.
Yeah. yeah.
Every time they watch the film, they're like, we don't know where this guy keeps coming from. He's not there when we film. Did he keep showing up in the film? And should we be worried about that?
Should we be worried about this guy? Yeah, he is absolutely not of this time at all. He sticks out like a sore thumb. Even more, even when everybody else, like, I mean, we're the 90s makeup is just throwing me. We've got these very thin, very dark eyebrows. We've got a dark matte lip. We've got
Bangs on bangs on bangs.
Bangs on bangs on bangs. Everybody's got bangs.
Like, how did you get those bangs and that hair so poofy in
just like they did in ancient Greece?
Question mark.
Question mark. Again, we don't know where we are. We're very confused. But yeah, that guy, this Joxer guy who greets Gabrielle into Illusia, which she thinks are the Elysian Fields for like a second. Also, she's nude. She does a front flip.
It's yes, crazy.
Of course. Have to get that in there.
Had to get that in there.
But yeah, his song is The Ballad of Joxer the Mighty. that's what it's called. I think he has a pretty good voice. He kind of reminds me of like an Into the Woods style Prince kind of thing. But it's pretty short, and I kind of don't understand why it was in here. I feel
great
like they
question.
Could have just gotten Gabriella into her hometown version, but yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, it was very odd. It felt like we have a cast member who is a singer, so we want to include him, but his character is not important in this episode at all. So we're going to have an illusion of him welcome Gabrielle into Illusia. I will say there's like a bit where he's off camera and he's like, we're in Illusia, like just singing, and I did lose my mind. Like, that really got me. But yeah, then we do go into this like, this welcome home song where Xena's at her spooky ass castle and Gabrielle is in a little cute pastoral like medieval town.
I like that for both of them. This is their sigh of like, ah, so nice to be home. Gabrielle in her nice pastoral town and Xena in this like dungeon of a place. Yeah.
And like Xena later says, like when they go to that other place, she's like, everything up to now, it's been so cheery. I'm like, Xena,
ma'am?
You were in like a very dark place earlier. But I love that that's her house.
I find it so interesting because it's like, it's also a very good snapshot of where they've been so far. That's like the whole point, right? Is like everything they've done together somewhat so far, like the hits, you know? So I was watching, I was like, you know, I wonder if I start from here, how much of this show I'll understand. Because this seems to be some sort of snapshot, like rewind on everything. Because there's a, not to jump too heavy, there's like this, there's their song together, right? Where it's like they realize every time they talk about the past, they can't hear each other, which is like a very, which is like one of those writers went to therapy.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And it was like really interesting of just like, that, and then they played with like whenever they like sort of mentioned the past, they like did like that weird reverb on the music. It was really neat. I think it also really holds what I know about Xena to be true, which is that these women are absolutely wives. They have
no question
three love songs to what I understand as love songs in like a musical sense together, where it's like clearly these characters are in love.
Yeah, I mean, like even the first like shot of Callista like mentions Gabrielle to Xena, and she looks longingly at this, like, again, we don't understand this wheel, we're never gonna understand it, but
it's
she looks
it's
longingly
a, it's a tarot
at, like,
card called the Wheel of Fortune, by the way. Just so that's
I didn't clock that at all.
Hey, you said Animaniacs earlier, and I was thinking of the Wheel of Reality.
But she looks at this like conjuration, we'll say, of Gabrielle, and her hair is like softly blowing in the wind and she's looking wistfully into the distance, and I'm like, you're in love, like this is crazy. You, that is not how we all platonically think of our friends. There's nothing platonic about this relationship at all. But yeah, we get this like welcome home song, and I gotta say, guys, I loved all of these little warriors doing their dance with their shields. I really lost it.
This is the moment when I realized, oh, they're fully aware of what they're doing. Like, these are very intentional jokes that are landing every single time. Like when they have the shields up and they pop their heads out to say Xena and then go back.
I really lost it. They also like all blow a kiss at her at the same time. Like it's it is kind of giving like over the top Disney musical. Like it's really giving like high camp in a way that was like really thrilling to have on the screen.
It was funny because there were multiple times in this where I'm like, this is straight up an Alan Menken song. Like, this could be a Disney song. But doing research, they were like, we're not trying to make a Disney musical. And I'm like, you kind of did a little bit with some of these. I think they were going for like a Sharks and Jets kind of thing here, but it's way too campy.
Yeah, no, they landed straight on Alan Menken. There's also just like, villagers love peace, peace, peace. Warriors love war, so war, war. War, yeah. Peace, war, peace. Leo Tolstoy could never, okay?
It is called War and Peace.
It's incredible.
Wow, take notes, Leo. But, yeah, Aries says at one point, like, vengeance can be such a hoot. That line really got me. There's a lot of like very goofy lyric work going on.
The line that got me, I don't know if it got me more as like a, it made me go, huh? Was they mention like Gabriella, like, oh, the bard is finally home. I was like, wait. So it's just one of those things that's a little funny to me. I'm like, are you meant to be a bard? Are you meant to be a performer and a singer? And you're the, you're the only character from the main cast who's done. It's just like one of those things where I'm like, that's a weird choice, everyone, to like cast someone. Like, nothing against the actress, but for casting to be like, yeah, this character is meant to be like a performer, a singer, a bard, and we cast someone who cannot do that for a screen.
I am getting a memory right now of, in the animated movie, I think she does carry around like a mandolin or a lute or something.
Incredible.
Like wow. A very classic bard look, and I think that's right.
It kind of seems, you know, it seems like it would fit. She's very much supposed to be this, like, gentle counterpart to like Xena's warrior, right? And so like my brain's just going like bard, cleric, like all of this, like people who can do healing.
She's like, what if, babe, what if we didn't pirate and burn people's houses down?
Yeah.
And Xena's like, I don't know. And she's like,
that sounds boring.
Gabriel's like, but I'm really hot. And Xena's like, you are really hot, right?
Yeah,
right.
That's how I understand this show. That's my basic understanding of this entire program. So
it's worth mentioning that the choreo was done by Jeff Calhoun, who has a bunch of credits. But notably a Tony for directing Newsies, but he directed and choreographed Big River, Grease, Bonnie and Clyde, a bunch of stuff.
Dang.
Love Newsies.
Yeah.
Love Newsies, yeah. No, the choreo on this was really fantastic. I was having a really, really excellent time.
Mm-hmm. This episode had to be expensive.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about that, too. I mean, we just have so many people and these really large sets. And everything seems to be custom made. We're clearly on like a studio lot, but we found that that's something that musical episodes do a lot, is sort of reference that like studio feel of like early Hollywood musicals, like this very artificial, which is like a huge contrast from these opening scenes which are shot in New Zealand, right? Mm-hmm. Like we go into this like incredibly artificial space, but you have to build all of that. You have to costume all of these people. It's really expensive to do numbers like this. So I was really excited to see them just going for it.
Yeah, they really committed. And it's worth saying too that the two different kinds of songs are like men's chorus versus women's chorus, and they are very distinct melodically too. They have like this really nice tight two vocal line harmony in the Gabrielle's version of things, and then just like a lot of chanting from the men, and it fits so well in my head, but also fits together in counterpoint. Really liked it.
Yeah, the counterpoint when they start singing, like, you know, when they start, like, overlapping their melodic lines is really fun. It works really well together. I just had a really great time. It felt like a big stage show, to be honest. Mm. It was really campy, and I was really enjoying it.
Mm. And course, it ends with Xena stabbing Gabrielle.
Oh, my God, you guys. My jaw dropped. I did not think
once
that
once again,
was
I was like...
happen.
How do they come? I was like, I was like, oh, this is like the purification ritual still. Like Gabrielle is like tripping. Xena is also on a mountain still. I don't know. Like they're both like in this like weird psychic space. They're not really here together. And she stabs her and I'm like, and then she wakes up.
Yeah. And then she wakes up. That can't be it, right?
And I was like, hello, we have 40, it's been 10 minutes.
Yeah, she's
and
been
so
down
far
there
you've
for
now
a minute.
Tried to kill this woman twice.
Twice. It's an extremely violent episode. I was so surprised when she stabbed Gabrielle for a second. I was like, am I forgetting that they recast this character? Like, did this actress have to leave for some reason? Are we like, I was suddenly very worried that Gabrielle was dead because she does not wake up immediately like mm-hmm. I thought she would. There is like a significant amount of time where she's just actually, on the ground.
She technically never wakes up. She yeah, walks in behind.
She walks in behind. In wild.
As Zena's like, I killed Gabrielle. And Gabrielle's like, you killed me?
And Zena's she was like, well, not
for real.
That was clearly. So funny.
Basically. Yeah,
it was so sudden, like, and?
It was so funny. The sudden jump for Lucy Lawless to be like avoiding eye contact and like, no, and like shuffling on her feet was so funny. It's so good.
I was just playing into the game so we could get out. I would no, I didn't.
No, it doesn't girl, count. You thought you murdered her.
I also, this isn't a criticism because I think it's actually a great choice, but there is a long amount of time before you start to see guilt on Lucy Lawless's face, even before the real Gabrielle comes in. It's like she's still in this. Maybe that was a bad idea to kill my one best friend.
Yeah, it takes a minute for her to get out of this almost like bloodlust she's had. Mm-hmm. It takes a second for her to come down and be like, oh no, I've stabbed my wife.
I don't remember where this happens, but Ding Dong the Bitch is Dead is also so good. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent work. Yeah. That's Aries, I think, during the scene. Yeah. Yeah. Aries says, Ding Dong the Bitch is Dead, puts on his like crown and disappears. He really like.
And then I think Gabrielle comes in.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry. I don't know if I'm remembering this wrong. Does the whole tango song happen while Gabrielle's on the floor?
Yes.
Because there's that dip. There's a really good shot where he dips Zena, and then Gabrielle's dead body is like right
there.
You're
absolutely correct.
I think that's right. So fun fact, I found the actor for Aries had to practice that scene with like someone like a foot shorter than Lucy Lawless.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's an adjustment to have to make on the day.
She got hurt on like a horse stunt or something.
Yeah, she got a knee injury.
You know, people, it's the 90s, everyone's doing their own stunts, like insane people. And she couldn't be there until like had to film it. And they're like, then it went well. And I'm like, that's crazy that you also didn't practice it together. She walked in with her like brand new healed knee and was like, yeah, I could do it one time.
Like, yeah, I can do tango. No worries. I got this. And the tango is pretty nice. I enjoyed it. I love a little like piece of much simpler choreography, just a dance for two people, right? But what's this song called? Did you say Melt?
It's called
Into
Melt
Me?
Into Me. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, again, this man is so evil-coded. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's intense. It is not subtle, even a little bit. He walks in, he's like, you should go kill your wife.
Yeah, it's really crazy. He does not even, but it's like, he does not try to sugarcoat it at all. He's like, you should definitely kill her. No worries.
You should go kill her and then come hang out with me.
And then coming up with the only thing I'll say about this that took me out was like, they're doing this very kind of like sensual tango. There's a lot of like running his hands down her side, like all of that. But in the background of this fucking shot is Joxer, who's come in a complete wardrobe change where he looks insane. And he's like cartoonishly frowning in the background.
Oh, I didn't see that. That's so funny.
You were so focused on this man. You were like, I have to find
you're
him
locked
in every scene.
This man who shouldn't be here. I'm like, what are you doing here,
Liza,
sir?
This character actually wasn't in this episode. We don't know what you're talking about.
It's so interesting, right? Because that's like something... It's interesting that he was Hangman and not the Fool, because I feel like that's something like a Fool would do, and when you get into like classic theater stuff, like the Fool is for some reason in every shot doing something in the background that feels like it doesn't
totally
like why
and
are
like,
you here?
And this is after he's done his weird makeover, where suddenly he's got like very pale face makeup on and like very like dark lip, and he's wearing all black. I guess in mourning, even though she like literally just died. Again, we're in an illusory space. We can do whatever we want. Yeah. Also, everybody is changing costumes every 4 seconds. So it is completely. But yeah, he is in the background of the shot. And just, yeah, do yourself a favor, rewatch it and look for him in the background. And you will absolutely lose your mind. It's really funny.
That's great.
But then we're transported by lightning, to a new space, the black and white echoey room, What is going on here?
Yeah, this is exactly what you were talking about before, Austin, where it is a good a really interesting choice that those echoes happen when they're starting to talk about their past and arguing with each other, and they literally can't hear each other. I just thought it was a really nice touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was also like, Lucy Lawless got some pipes. I mean, I know, like, this is not a live recording by any means whatsoever, but, like, still, you can hear it under that. I'm like, okay, Lucy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, up to this point, she hasn't really sung that much, right? Like, there's been a lot of sort of singing at her, and she's largely been talking or talk singing back in, like, little couplets. And so I kind of thought she wasn't going to, if I'm honest. But then she breaks it out, and I was like, okay.
No, she sounds great. She also has this kind of, like, rock affectation to her voice, and it made the whole thing feel like a 90s music video, and I was here for it.
It did really in a fun, very real way, and I really appreciated it. It felt right for the character, too. Mm-hmm. Like, Xena, she's metal. Like, she's a rocker. Like, I don't care what
time. She stabbed her wife 10 seconds.
She just stabbed her wife, you guys.
And she's kind of sorry about it. Like, she's a little sorry.
It's like one of those things that's nuts. It's like, I haven't watched the season up until now, or the show. From what I can gather, her son's dead because she says because of you. I'm sure there's more to it than that. Surely you didn't just straight up kill her son. That would be kind of nuts if you did that. I don't think we should be having a discussion. But, like, it's so interesting because they're both, like, blaming each other. Because Gabrielle's, like, blaming her. Because, like, it starts and they're, like, trying to entertain each other. And then it turns into Xena's like, well, yeah, but you killed my son. And Gabrielle's like, well, it's actually your fault. And also, you've ruined me because you're fucking insane. Is essentially what it boils down to. And it's so interesting because it's like, I'm like, are there two sides to a son dying? Maybe I should watch this show, but I feel like there's not two sides to that. Like, I don't know how we come back here. They do.
They get
there. Solve it. Spoiler, we solve it. But yeah, I totally get that. There is a very confusing blame game going on, and the stakes of it seem unbelievably high.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the song, I think it's interesting, this thing where we echo in the past means it's forced these characters to be in the present in a very, like, text way, which is really interesting. And the song itself is good. I mean, it's a bunch of, like, weird sort of minor intervals and, like, unresolved sort of lines, and it's, you know, you can feel the pain in it, right? It's, they're talking about, like, their hearts hurting and stuff, and it's a painful song, and you really do get that in the vocal performances as well, even the one that is dubbed, you get that. So I don't know what they're fighting about. I don't know whose side I'm on. But I'm sad that these two wives are fighting. I'm like, no.
It is really cool because it's like the actress who plays Gabrielle's sister auditioned for her role to, like, sing by phone while she was while she was home in Detroit. She had the audition by phone. She, like, recorded it in Detroit as well. That's where they recorded her song, was, like, at a booth here in Detroit. And then she flew to New Zealand to tape, obviously.
Wow.
So Detroit mentioned. The other thing was, I do find it very interesting because it's like, until now, like, the songs hadn't been bad, but they felt very, like, nudge, nudge, haha. Like, you were kind of talking about, you know, like, they're not bad necessarily, but they're very much, they know what they're doing. They understand this is not kind of the tone for this show.
They're very campy.
Yeah, let's make it campy a little over the top. But this song felt like, oh, this is real. This is not just, like,
totally
a ha-ha, campy, one-off episode. They're like, yeah, anyway, Xena has hurt Gabrielle for years now in the fiction of this. They've been together, like, I don't know how long, years, though, because I, like, she was on Hercules and she had her show, like for years she has done horrible things in front of this cupcake of a woman. And Gabrielle has some role to play in her son's demise. And so it's, like, the first time I felt, like, the sit-up moment of, like, oh, okay, wait, something is really happening.
It's like the first song without a joke, I think.
Yes.
Like, all of the other songs have been a little bit jokey. And suddenly we are like, no, the emotional stakes for these women are extremely real. And we do a tone shift, but it's pretty successful. It's a pretty successful tone shift.
Yeah, it works for me.
Yeah, you sit up and you listen. You're like, oh, no, this is a very serious episode.
I also, there's a lot of like small musical choices that I think are really nice. Like, it's a great choice to not really have them singing in unison or harmonizing at any point. It's cool that the echoes come back while they're singing. I'm probably not the person to say this, but it is the classic dumb lesbians trope of like, you know that you can't keep arguing, but you're going to keep doing it even stronger and it's going to be very consequential for you. Mm-hmm. But overall, I love all of the smaller choices of this whole number.
Yeah, I felt like it was a really strong number. You feel it. It's a, I hadn't felt anything just yet. I had been mostly laughing and confused up until this point. And suddenly I was like, oh no, this is intense.
Yeah.
And then we get sucked into the wheel.
We go to hell. Question mark.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I was gonna say the other thing too is like, this had seven songs?
Seven songs, I think, is how they counted it. But it's hard because there's so many like combinations kinda, of songs.
Yeah, they blend into each other.
I don't know if this is right, but it feels like that song is would almost be like the, like, there wasn't an intermission, but it feels like second act of the episode, you know, feels like the sort of shift they make.
Definitely a second act number. I agree completely.
Yeah.
Where it's like everything's different now. That's one of the only musical things I understand. And yes, someone taught me that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you stabbed your wife. There are consequences.
things have changed.
To your actions. Zena's like, oh no.
I'm just saying that's nuts. Okay. For the rest, I'm trying to like embody it, right? Like, I have a partner, right? And the idea of like, even if it wasn't real, like forever, right? You wake up and you're like, damn, that one time I totally meant to stab my wife.
Or vice versa, as Gabrielle. Like, that one time I watched my wife stab me.
Remember that one time you stabbed me?
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, every fight forever. I don't know how the rest of this show plays out yet, but like, every disagreement forever is like, I mean, you stabbed me that one time and you're like, well, it wasn't real.
You like held my dead body and you didn't regret it immediately. And that kind of sucked to see.
You did a tango of Aries over my dead body.
So
while he sung ding dong, the bitch is dead.
Yeah. So I think you're taking out the trash today. every fight. I mean, the next song is about hate. Did it have a title, Alex?
Hate is the Star is what it's called.
Okay. Where are these titles? Are they like on a, is there a soundtrack?
There's a soundtrack, yeah.
Oh my god.
Nice. Excellent.
I am right now seeing if I can get the soundtrack on Apple Music. Please.
Actually, it's worth saying, I didn't say this before, but this episode got 2 Emmy nominations outstanding music
you know
and
what?
Lyrics.
They deserve that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got it for Hearts which Are Hurting songs? And The Love Is Your Love, which is the last one,
my
which
God.
We haven't talked about yet.
The Love of Your Love Is You is, I don't know what that means. We'll get there. I don't know what that means at all.
I will translate it. It's very mm-hmm. good. I got you.
Okay, thank you.
but this song is Hate is the Star. And immediately upon hearing it, I had to pause it and be like, this is a song I know. And I figured it out. I think it's in my head a mashup of Arabian Nights and Be Prepared.
Be Prepared. From Lion that King. Was what and, I was going to yeah. say. Yeah. It was Be Prepared from The Lion King. I was like, hello, Jim Rice and Elton John. I didn't know you were here.
I have something to share with the class.
Amazing.
I've pulled this up on Apple Music, the official The Bittersweet, A Musical Odyssey.
Excellent.
On this, they have song titles as well. War and Peace is War and Peace / Gab is Stabbed.
Oh no.
What?
Oh, that's such a good joke only for the people who are working on it.
100%.
That's really good.
They had no idea anyone would ever look at that title ever.
I'm just glad that a pit orchestra was handed a piece of sheet music that said Gab is Stabbed.
Thank you so much for noticing that too, because I definitely did see that and was like, okay, write that down. Okay, that's fine. And didn't realize the weirdness of that title.
That is a very weird title.
Sorry, we're talking about the hate of
hate is the Star. I mean,
we're talking about Be Prepared.
Be Prepared. It's Be Prepared from The Lion King. Carl Urban is here. He doesn't do anything. Yep. I was like, that's Amer.
Young Carl.
Why is he there?
Because he's in New Zealand. And if you film something in New Zealand, you legally have to include Carl Urban.
Oh, okay. Those are the rules. Oh, that makes sense. I get it now. I was like, I looked up, I was like, okay, Carl Urban is in Xena, but he seems to just be standing here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really...
Why is he standing?
There's no point. It sort of doesn't have to be him, I guess, but he is. He plays Caesar in this.
Yeah, he's an actual character.
So I know he's like a character. So I guess they're just using cast members sort of as, I don't know, as these emblems of hate. Mm-hmm. It's that Xena and Gabrielle have let hate take over their souls. And for some reason, Carl Urban has to be here to emphasize that.
I think Caesar was her son's dad, question mark, maybe?
Oh.
Caesar is like, because like you have to accompany these women because they have children. Then they're like, well, they don't make them together.
There's a sperm donor, and it might be Caesar.
Yeah, I think
it might be Carl Urban.
I think it was meant to be Carl Urban Caesar, wow, is what I believe. I like feel that vaguely.
He's mentioned earlier in the episode. Like that blonde woman, who I guess is not the other blonde woman.
The blonde, but not the other blonde, and also not Xena's wife blonde.
And also not Xena's wife. So the third blonde woman mentions him briefly.
It looks like Xena's son is from this guy, Boreas. Who?
Never mind. I don't know why Carl Urban's there. Okay. I tried to help them out. Because there's the one blonde woman, right, is one of the people... And like some other people I didn't recognize, and Carl Urban.
And Carl Urban. I was just like, oh my God, Carl Urban. I forgot he was on this show briefly.
And they like, show you his face. And I'm like, did I miss him in one of the musicals? I was like, I first thought it was Ares. I was like, no, it's not Ares. Ares
shows
there.
Up in a second. So he has facial hair and he shows up and also is there. So it's not him. But yeah, anyway, Carl Urban's there. We make Carl Urban explode because we rediscover the power of love.
And the power of harmony. That's like the first time they harmonize together, people just start exploding. And I love that as a choice.
Incredible.
That's what happens when you destroy hate, they explode.
Carl Urban explodes.
I don't know how y'all felt about this when you saw it, but even though it's a crazy turnaround from just having stabbed your partner, a couple minutes ago, but it was pretty cathartic for me when they got back together. I was like, this is really nice. I feel centered.
I will say I was very grateful that they acknowledged that they had taken a turn and they were going to fix it. It didn't feel resolved to me though, which is why I was grateful for the next song, which is Xena being like, I fucked up. Unbelievably bad. Like I was like, I couldn't get to that catharsis until Xena had owned up to something. Okay. I needed the next song for that to happen.
Yeah, the love of your love, Emmy nominated also. Both of those songs, by the way, lost to a Simpsons song. So
really?
Maybe for when we do another Simpsons episode, we'll check that out.
Start talking about the Simpsons. I can't start talking about the Simpsons. I can't do it. But I'm so angry.
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense on the surface.
It makes a lot of sense in the time period.
It does.
They just had so...
Also, guys, Emmy voters are... That's a whole other question mark. Especially
losers.
In 1998. They're dumb. Sorry. They're historically dumb and just pick things that everybody's seen. I mean, I don't know. There's the Emily Paris of it all.
I'll just say this. Emmy voters, I want you to look me in the eyes and tell me what's funny about the bear. We can move on now.
But no, this song is really, it's Lucy Lawless mostly solo. It's a solo song, but it's really, there's some like warm strings and some harp, and it's very emotional, and it's really her burying her soul because she can't step through this magic waterfall.
It like burns her. There's also a guy laughing.
There's
like a man
with lion sound effects just in the corner laughing.
Yeah, did not understand that even kind of.
They said a name and I looked it up and he's
a villain of sorts.
He's some other villain of sorts that I guess Xena killed but told Gabriella she didn't. I don't know why it's bad. that she didn't.
Yeah, Ming Tian is his name.
Ming Tian. Yeah, he, I guess Ming Dynasty. Does that place this in a time period? I don't know. Anyway.
Xena's all over. You don't want to.
Xena's all Listen, over that shop.
Xena ends with them ushering in the one true god.
Oh, boy.
Xena ends with. Xena dies. She gives birth to Eve.
What?
Cool.
And then she. And then she saves Eve from being killed by, I think it's Ares, who's like the last living Greek god or something.
Wow.
And Xena, instead of going back to the world of the living, gives up her soul so the 40,000 people she killed can come back to life. And I was like,
she 40,000 people?
The KD ratio 40? On Xena.
Like, I was like reading her character biography. I was like, so the 40,000 souls, 40,000?
I gotta be honest, dude. That was a whole roller coaster hearing you say that, because I was like, Xena ends with monotheism, I'm out. Xena killed 40,000 people, I'm back in.
But wait, it ends with monotheism, but also like, don't worry, Gabrielle, you and Xena will be reincarnated forever as soulmates.
Okay.
I was like, okay. What is happening here?
What is happening? No idea. I will say a lot of this felt like decisions were made with the help of a lot of cocaine. Yes. Like, just like a lot.
This song is a good song. I really like, so The Love of Your Love, you said mm-hmm. you were confused. Mm-hmm. Yes. Why are you confused?
I don't know what that means. You? The love of your love is you. Someone decode this for me. I just felt like it was word salad. I couldn't get anything out of it.
Okay, so the idea is like, it's the idea that the person you love, mm-hmm. their love is yourself.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense.
The way one of the writers described it is like, there's a saying also that the enemy of my enemy is me. The
enemy is my friend. Right?
The enemy of my enemy is myself. And so this is sense, like the reverse one. The love of Got my it. Love is myself. But they used you.
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
And so it's the idea of like, so if you love this person and they love you, you should also find a way to redeem and love yourself.
Love yourself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's very sweet, actually. Yeah. I like that. I enjoy this. And I felt like, yeah, it gave me that emotional catharsis that I needed in order for their reunion to feel earned. Mm-hmm. Because it didn't quite feel earned after Carl Urban explodes, although I loved it. I was like, I need a little bit more.
We needed an Asian man to explode instead at the very end of this
show. I need the one person of color to explode. into rocks.
I feel like they wanted it to look like body parts, but probably either got told they couldn't or told ran they out of the budget. Yeah, like there's either budget or like... And or like censorship for somebody along the way was like, we cannot make body parts for some reason.
Can we pixelate that
a little
like
before
bit more?
That he was like a weird spectral ghoul with a human head, so like where are the rocks coming from? Like he should have just vanished. Like there's nothing corporeal about him until he turns into rocks. It was very
I was also like didn't Callisto put them here? Who is this guy now?
No clue.
Thinking Callisto would show up at the end, and she just like you said, just was gone.
She's just gone.
Did Callisto not bring them here?
Maybe she had like another couple that was going through at the same time, and she's
have
to get your own shit together. That's my hour. I have a different. This is couples therapy, and wherever Xena is.
I did have a question. So to my brain, what made sense to me is like. When they were like getting tortured, because Xena's like being crucified, like over Gabriella, and Gabriella's like about to get like ritually sacrificed, maybe. I didn't know it felt like they were trying to show you that time had passed, that they had like been getting tortured, because like they had like bruises and like cuts. So that's what it was to me. It's like they've been sitting there watching each other get tortured, and now they're like, damn, man. Maybe I messed up.
I have no idea.
That's fair.
The timeline of this was like, this could have taken 15 minutes and this could have taken 4 days. Mm-hmm. I have no clue.
That's valid.
But yeah, or in real time, because it's kind of all sung, right? It's very weird. But yeah, I mean, then she goes through the waterfall, the cleansing waterfall, and is dry and has perfect hair and is back in her normal clothes. classic.
She gets to hug her son's spirit now.
Yeah. Her son's spirit. And also then they're like, you brought us here. And I was like, what was Callisto fucking doing then?
Yeah.
Like, I got really...
Was it your son? Was it this evil ghost man?
Yeah.
Was it Callisto? I feel like
there
you two...
are three mysterious entities. You cannot have yeah. this many mysterious spectral entities.
Don't worry, Alex. I'll say it. Hey, you dumb lesbians. Listen to me. I'm one too. We can't just keep saying things. You can't be like, every time you see a new ghost guy, be like, you brought me here. You can't just keep saying it, babe.
That actually is just say the you most don't sapphic know. Thing is like, oh, that's the reason. It's like, no, that was not the reason.
No, it's so funny, right? Because Gabrielle's like, that's the reason he brought us here. And then Xena's like, nope, it's this evil ghost man who wants me to confess that I killed him. And I'm like, this feels like you had like two extra minutes of showtime and you wanted to do something. You could have just had it end on the sun and you're like, no.
I feel like that must have been really important to the show, though. That like this was a really big secret that she was holding on to for a very long time that wasn't addressed, right? Like, I think they just needed to blank slate.
Which falls into like, which falls into so much of like musical lore is the idea that like, what you can't say, you have to sing. And so, like, there is a big running theme we found of, like, secrets being revealed. This one does feel sort of tapped in at the last fucking second in a very weird way. But it must have been important. Like, it seems important to Gabrielle that Xena kept this secret from her. And so, yeah, I mean, it's weird. I don't know what it's doing there, but it does serve as a good emotional moment, even if I'm a little confused on what's going on. And yet, and that's our last song. I mean, then we wake up after hugging our son.
And we're hugging each other.
And we're hugging each other laying on the beach.
Weird imagery.
Very weird.
Yeah.
They just sort of make snow angels in the water on the beach. Like, also, that has to have been so cold. And these, like, I was just thinking about how cold these women are as they're being forced to, like, laugh in a carefree way as we just play string music and fade out.
Or I'll say a really weird CGI sunset. I'm like, New Zealand's like pretty, guys. You could have just like
it must have been just like the grayest day. Because also like, it looks cold. They look miserable. I'm like, guys, come back on a different day. Shoot this on a nice day. But no, we had to get it in the can. We're running behind schedule. And it's just
I know we've talked about a couple CGI things. I don't know how we haven't mentioned the CGI griffins yet.
My god,
they're a monstrosity.
Oh my god, what the fuck are those, man?
It's so interesting to me because I'm like, in my head, right, like it's a fantasy action show from the 90s. I'm like, surely they had to do CGI a lot. I don't know, but surely they must have done that a lot. But it feels like this was like their first time ever touching a computer for this show.
We opened After Effects and we were just like, ooh, I can do fire. Like, it really feels like it's Birdemic CGI.
Yeah.
It's really, really wild looking.
Listen, they blew all their budget on the sets and costumes and they were like, fuck, we still need to have this CGI griffin in here.
Hey, if that was the one they blew it on, it was worth every penny. The set and costume does look good.
I agree completely.
Well, like, it's that the griffins come back. Like, if it was only in that
back
insane
multiple times.
That's the thing. Is like, we keep coming back. We keep adding them into new scenes. We're like, we should definitely have griffins here also, right? I'm like, no.
Sorry, how much did we spend on these CGI griffins? No, bring them back. We need to use them as much
as possible. Bring them back. We gotta use them again. It's so weird.
Because truly, like, Xena's welcome is a cocaine-rattled fever dream.
Yeah.
Like, if I was Xena and woke up there and saw all of that, I'd be like, I need to leave. The only way to leave is sing. I need to leave. Spin the wheel. No.
I feel like, I would just like to go home. I need to leave and I'm never touching drugs again, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely not.
I am straight edge from here on out.
I am straight edge as hell from here on out.
I drink clear liquids.
We were fighting for one time and everything went crazy. Let's not do that again.
Let's never do this again.
No, you have to do this trial to come back to terms. No, I will go make it with my wife right now if I can leave.
Yeah. Can we please go? This is awful.
She's over there in that fake village. Here, babe, I'm sorry. Let's go. This place sucks.
It's like an escape room. We're like, can we just rage quit? I hate this. I do not want to do your stupid puzzle.
Look into the camera. I want to go home.
Yeah. Can we get a hint?
Yeah. Oh, my God, you guys.
That was the episode, guys. And any last minute thoughts before we score this?
My one last minute thought was watching this is, how did they ever pretend this show wasn't gay?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh my God.
Ever. It's so
it's
savage.
A great question.
It's crazy.
I was like watching this and I was like, these women are so clearly in love, it's disgusting that anyone ever had to try and like pretend like again, I feel like people on the show knew, right?
Yeah.
But
any
writer ever had to pretend they weren't, I was like, they have like three love songs in this episode alone.
And also, we all have eyes.
Yes.
Like, what are you doing?
And also, every woman in this show is so hot, and every guy is so mid.
The some man
so mid. Yeah. It's so funny. All of these white men are so unbelievably mid and like just blend into each other, except for that one who I'm obsessed with, but like everybody else. And then all of these women
and every
are
woman
so,
is
so
the
hot.
Hottest woman you've ever
it's
seen in your life.
Crazy. Oh my God. It's a great question. The show is incredibly gay. It's insane that anybody tried to tell me that either of those women are heterosexual. That is nonsense.
No.
But with that, I think we should jump into the scores.
Let's do it.
You ready? First up is the general vibe. I mean, this is like how much we enjoy it. How has it aged? Is there anything like problematic about that? Is it a good episode of TV? For me, I really, really enjoyed this. I had a really great time. I will say, honestly, on the point of this show being like very sapphic, I do still think you feel that the creative team is very male.
Yeah.
I think that still comes across, and mostly in that like these women are like constantly nude, which I'm not against, but it's never reciprocated by anyone of any other gender, right? It's like just women, and men are always leering at them. Like they're always commenting on it.
And their armor is always only covering their titties. Like that is it.
Yeah, just titty armor. So like that for me is kind of the only thing that I was like a little meh on. But otherwise, I was really, I had an excellent time. So, I don't know. For me, it's pretty high.
We talked about this behind the camera. I can't believe we didn't mention it in the episode, but the like, intro, like, theme song of, like, In a World kind of thing that was happening, and all of the bad CGI, like, actually ages well, because
It was great.
It brings me back in a nice
great.
Way.
Yeah, I had a great time. I think, like, yeah, we talked about the advent of like prestige television has brought this idea that like all title sequences need to be like ambient sounds. We need to be in like tight close-ups. Then we pan out to like reveal what it is, or like there's like a lot of symbology and like, I don't know, all of this stuff. And I was so thrilled to have like a goofy ass Poseidon come up out of the water and be like, she's the strongest princess in the world. I was like, yes, fuck yeah, I'm ready. I really missed that. And I was really so tickled. So tickled.
I had a good time. I like gay women, so. I will say, no, the echo, the like nudity thing, like, Xena's felt fine, but I guess like she woke up with Callisto, and I was like, I get it, Callisto. Yeah. I would not kiss a woman naked if I just found her, but
no,
you two have
not.
Like some history or whatever. Like, I don't know what that history is because I haven't watched this show, but she clearly knows you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But then, yeah, for Gabrielle's, it was a lot weirder because once she didn't wake up, she wasn't like passed out. She like woke up and did a fucking like triple salt in the air and,
crazy.
Like, and landed perfectly dry but naked behind a bush.
Yep.
Amazing. The way people went from wet to dry in this was so amusing every time.
Honestly,
really got me every time.
Personally, yeah. Myself transitioning between wet and dry constantly throughout this.
Awful. But no, like, so when Gabrielle does it, Joxer, again, his name is Joxer. I cannot get past it.
Someone wrote down Joker and they were like, no, that's
an
the
X,
other guy.
Right? No, that's a K. No, that's an the X. Name,
the username Joker was taken.
Just, that energy.
Yeah. But he, like, keeps commenting on it. And I was like, that now it feels less like a sort of, like, maybe, I don't know, a platonic thing where none of us are noticing it and it's sort of therefore non-sexual, and now it feels weird. And then, like, Aries sort of leers at Xena when he, like, cuts her dress off. And I was like, leave her alone. Mm-hmm. So that was, for me, those were kind of, like, moments. But overall, I was still having a great time. So I'm thinking, like, a 9?
9 is where I was at.
9? Okay. 9 sounds good. We'll go for it. Music. I mean, this is... it's all original music, but, you know, is it listenable? Are the arrangements interesting? Are the melodies good?
The only negative thing I can say about it is it feels a little bit overarranged. Like, there's way too many instruments and way too many parts happening at once. But I will take that over underarranged anytime. Like, for me, it was still kind of incredible how much they committed to this and brought in so many songs and so many different melody lines. Really great harmonies, maybe some of the best, like, consistent harmonies I've seen in a musical episode. Mm-hmm. A lot of ensemble singing, which I love. Yeah, it's very strong for me.
Totally.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think it's wild. They fit, we landed on 7 songs. They fit 7 songs in 44 minutes of TV.
Mm-hmm. And that's in, like, the first 7 or so, there's no singing. So that's also all in, like, 35 minutes, right?
Yeah. they were like, we will get all of these songs in. Mm-hmm. I think the first few, before you get to that switch where, like, the emotional impact kind of comes in, would be, I would have a hard time listening to just, like, whenever.
Yeah, totally.
But I feel like the second 3 or 4 or whatever, like, those carry it pretty hard. Mm-hmm. And the first few are like, ha 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 ha, we're disarming you. But I don't think disarming works great for, like, listening to it out if you had never watched this or something, right?
Totally. Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense to me.
And something about the piecemeal nature of them too also lends to that. Like, they're sort of hard to listen to because it's sort of like there are a bunch of songs that are 30 seconds long. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as I'm getting used to a melody line, we're switching the song. It's now about something else. And so, like, that kind of, like, does take away a little bit. It becomes kind of, like, bewildering. Yeah. And, like, I wouldn't listen to that on my hot girl walk. Like, I would be too confused. But still, yeah, it's pretty, we always appreciate people writing their own music, and they really fucking went for it. I mean, they got a whole pit orchestra to come in and record. Like, I really do appreciate that kind of effort. What are we thinking?
I mean,
friends?
For me, I think it's a 9 for me too, but I'm flexible for sure.
I'm thinking, for me, it's more of like an 8. Those last songs are really great and they're really carrying it, but I don't know that those first songs are holding up as much.
Damn, I was on 7.
Wow.
I'm a hater.
Well, that averages us out.
Well, average out to 8. So that works. And I win. So that's great too. It's not a competition, but I did win. All right. Lyrics are up next. I mean, lyrics are, for the first half, again, crazy goofy, but successful in their goofitude. Like, they are very fun and campy. And then they do take a very emotional turn partway through. Sometimes I would say, like, I don't know about Hate Is the Star really resonating for me. But yeah, how do we feel about lyrics?
Listen, Ding Dong the Bitch Is Dead is kind of inspired.
Yeah, it is. We have to give them that,
And everything Callisto says is in, you know, is rhymed. So even though it's not lyrics, it's more of the script, they kind of keep the same lyricism throughout the whole episode.
Yeah, they do. People kind of, like, if they're not singing, they speak in couplets.
Gives it, like, a sung through feel of the whole episode, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Kind of feels like an operetta. So what are we thinking out of 10? Where are we landing?
For me, I'm not so passionate about the lyrics in this one, but I don't think they're bad. I don't remember a lot of them, if I'm being honest. So probably, like, closer to a 7 for me on this.
I don't remember a lot of them, but I remember liking them all. Mm-hmm. I'm less a hater on this one. I'm at a full 10.
Ooh, nice.
All right. Wow, I love this. I'm kind of sitting at a 9. Okay. So I don't know what that gives us.
I'd say let's pull it up to a 9 then.
Let's give it a 9. I think there are no lyrics that I didn't like. I think sometimes they're getting lost, maybe just because they're going so fast and they're so like a little discordant. But like, there's none that I like hated, maybe except for "Hate Is the Star," which mm-hmm. I don't appreciate. But anyway,
and I think "The Love of Your Love Is You," while complicated, is a really nice message.
It actually is a sweet sentiment. I've come around on it. I'm really into it now. So extremely pro that song. All right. Dancing. This has a lot of choreo.
Yeah. Jeff Calhoun put in some work. Choreo. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, we mentioned the popping out from behind the shields to say Xena.
It's very good.
Inspired is the word that I'm going with.
I felt like I was watching Gallivant for a second. Like, it was crazy.
It was super fun. Yeah, I had a really great time. I was excited by how much dancing there was. Mm-hmm. It did feel like, again, like once we kind of make that emotional turn, we sort of stop with it. Mm-hmm. I kind of wished there was some sort of coordinated movement during that "Hate Is the Star" song, maybe. Mm-hmm. But that was the only place where I felt like it was missing. Otherwise, I felt like there was quite a lot going on, and I was impressed by its scale, like how much ensemble we used in it. And then, you know, we also get a partner number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty strong for me, too. I, you know, think that there could have been... I don't know if I take it back. Never mind. I like it. I like it.
All right. What are we thinking? Number. I'm kind of at, like, a 9. Like, I think they really go for it. There's, like, one moment where I wanted more, but otherwise, I was very happy.
Yeah. That sounds good to me.
Yeah. Okay, great. Performance. So usually this is sort of we pair vocal and acting performance. And I'm kind of wondering where the dubbing of it all comes into this.
Yeah, I would say the job of the dubbing performance is to sound natural in the character's voice and also obviously sound good as a singer. Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, I mean, it is noticeable, but it's not jarring. It didn't take me out when the dubbing happened. And it did feel like, I think especially... like Callisto's voice sounded similar to her speaking voice, which I thought was really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree there.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And you know, like the acting performances, we kind of talked about, like, there's a lot of chew in the scenery. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody is at a 12 the mm-hmm. entire episode. There is a lot of like widened eyes acting. Xena in particular is doing a lot of crazy eyes and like smiles. And like everything seems to be very, very intense for everyone in a sort of very put on way. But that seems to be the order of the day. Like mm-hmm. that seems to be everybody doing their jobs. So I'm not really mad at it. It's mm-hmm. it's fun, kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, I feel like I just keep throwing 9s into this spreadsheet. But
I mean, I could hit a 10 on performance for this because
let's go 10.
Let's do it.
I think there's no one who doesn't commit completely to the craziness of this.
Even when Joxer's just frowning in the background of a shot, he's present for the whole shot. He's being a great scene
he's
partner.
Reacting.
You guys have to rewatch that. I need you to rewatch it. It's so weird.
Do you think he didn't realize he was in the scene? Do you think they're like, Joxer, you're in the shot?
And he's just having an awful time.
I think he moved into position to make sure that his frown was in the shot.
Yeah, I think he moved his mark on the set. He pulled up the tape and he moved it a foot to the left. He's like, director's no, I'm watching, in the shot.
Watching playback, is he supposed to be in the shot? Just like staring at him in the background, like, can I get a reset? And everyone resets and he stands there's like, where's your mark? And he's like, right here.
Right there.
Like, okay, I didn't think it was supposed to be.
Yeah, okay. Well, moving on, I guess. We got it. You have to watch it. Okay. Writing. So this is, you know, dialogue, pacing, script quality. Since so much of it is sung through, it almost feels like we covered some of it in lyrics. But yeah.
But I think the another note to bring overall with writing is that we were confused a lot of the time, and partially that's because we don't watch the show, right? And that's, you know, they're doing the best they can to be like, remember your son that died? And we go, oh, okay, there's a son that died. But it was pretty messy writing in parts, I think, to be polite.
I mean, yeah, we have complained multiple times that we don't know why they were in this space, if it was Callisto's doing, if it was Xena's son, if it was this man. Like, we are
it's very confused, unclear.
We're lost.
Where was Xena before? How did she get here so fast? Was it fast? How?
Why is everyone always naked, right? Like, that is a writing issue at its core.
So, I think this is where it's going to suffer a little bit.
At the same time, I really love the Echo thing, right? Like, I think that's kind of profound. And I don't know if the tarot thing falls into writing or direction, but I think that's a little bit part of it, maybe.
I think I'd put that in direction.
Yeah,
if I'm honest,
I think that's right.
Because it doesn't appear in the text at all. It's, like, purely a visual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, writing... There are moments that are really great, and I do think they had to do something really difficult, which is resolve this insane fight between your two leads.
Yeah.
Like, that is really hard to make that feel like that is earned, because you've built so much.
Also, in one episode,
baby. She's gonna stab her wife, but it's gonna be okay. Like, that is a monumental mountain you built for yourself. And it is at times a bit of a roller coaster.
I think I'm feeling a 7.5.
I'm at a six.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm closer to a six.
Let's go with a six because I was thinking six originally, but you convinced me up to a higher number.
Yeah, I was sitting at five, and then you said the thing about the echoes, and I was like, oh, that actually was a nice moment. So we'll give it that. Yeah. Okay. Direction. Cinematography, blocking, framing, the costume choices, which you mentioned, the tarot. There's a lot of visuals going on. I'm not sure all of them have to be there.
Yeah.
The sphinxes, the Anubis, which we like haven't talked about, but there's a guy with an Anubis head.
Yeah, wait, I was like, the Anubis is like, yeah, wait, pause. The Anubis started talking, and I was like, aren't they like in ancient Greece? What's going on?
I know. I'm like, where are we?
They were bringing in different like mythologies in that song, right? Because they also have like the eagle and the snake, and there's like some Mexican trumpets happening in the background. So like they're bringing
Eagle and snake Greek things.
Well, I think specifically for that they were like doing like kind of a callback to the origins of Mexico and the myth of the snake being caught by the eagle on a cactus or something like that. But yes, it is an amalgamation of a lot of different mythologies in that moment, but it doesn't explain how crazy that Anubis looks or that griffin looks. So
no, and I applaud the effort to make this
respect the hustle.
I respect the hustle. Yeah, I respect the hustle. But at a certain point, we're reaching a saturation and none of it means anything 100%. Anymore. You have somehow robbed these things of any meaning and they're just weird now.
So I hear you, but I think it's so hard. Like the tarot thing is so good. Mm-hmm. The yearning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
the yearning they direct this woman to have. Yeah. The
it's there.
Look at your best friend like she's your wife, but if the public ever ask you in any interview,
you're gal pals.
Yep.
You are gal pals. You are roommates.
And to your point, Austin, too, if we're like putting performance at a 10, like there is a direction to get the actors to all commit to this crazy thing that they're doing.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. We've got everyone to buy in a very major way.
Listen, you got whoever. I didn't look up who played Ares, but you got him deliver Ding Dong. The bitch is dead.
We're going to keep coming back to that. Fully in, fully serious.
Mike.
Love that. Absolutely incredible stuff. So yeah, for me, I would just maybe have edited out a few things. I've been like, we don't need all of the things going on. It's becoming quite overwhelming. The Sphinxes could have been not there, and I would have been fine, basically.
It's like, hey, listen, Joseph DeLuca, Joseph Lo DeLuca, who's the showrunner. Hey, listen, I get it. You clearly have unmedicated ADHD. You don't need all of this stuff.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly.
He just like keeps bringing stuff to set and they're like, Joe.
Just from
we
his
have,
house.
Thank you.
Like, we have a props department, Joe.
Do you need this Anubis? Joe, listen, You've been so good to us. We don't need more stuff. Please stop dropping things off.
But I had this dream the other day that I think we need to visualize.
Guys, I've done more cocaine and I have an idea.
Are any of you into tarot? No, Joe. I don't like how you said it, that sentence. I had a CD for costuming. We've costumed everybody already, Joe.
And he's like, what if they all had 8 costumes minimum?
We already spent our whole budget on the CGI.
Yeah. Okay. So what are we feeling then for direction?
I think I'm at a 7.5 for this also.
I'm at a 9.5.
9.5.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
You talked me down from 10.
Let's call it an 8.5. I'm pretty much an 8, but let's go for 8.5.
8.5, that's right, yeah. Beautiful.
Perfect. Okay. Commitment. I just don't see a world where this isn't a 10.
That's a 10.
Like, this is so committed. We could go into it, but we've mentioned it already.
No, it's a
Everybody
10.
Is doing the most.
On. Locked
Everybody
in.
Everybody is on and locked in, and they care. And it is unbelievable. We've also pretty much talked about the next category, which is stakes.
Stakes is a 10 for me, too.
High.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to bring back our two leads who are the core of this show. Their love, from what I understand, is the core of this show. Mm-hmm. And we need to get them back together. We use a musical episode to do it. So, yeah, I think that's a 10. All right. So the last category is personal ranking. And this, all of us will have our own number for this. But we just, out of 10, where does this sit for you? Thinking about everything we've talked about for the last 90 minutes. What are we... I mean, I have my number. I know.
I have my number too.
I'm my number two.
Amazing.
Okay. Are we ready? I'm going to count us down. 3, 2, 1, 10.
10. Oh, let's go. let's
go,
fucking
team.
Go.
Wow.
That's honestly really so funny.
Let's go, lesbians.
That's really that.
I just had such a good time.
Guys, I had a great time. This was such a fun episode. I immediately rewatched it. Like, I watched it once and realized I had absorbed nothing and needed to take notes, so I just watched it again. It's great, and I now want to watch this entire show, is the best endorsement of a musical episode.
This episode alone convinced me. I was like, I need to watch all of Xena Warrior Princess.
Absolutely.
Fine, we can watch all of it together, guys.
Yeah, guys.
There's 134 episodes, 6 seasons. There's 6 seasons and there are 3 intro episodes. I don't know what that means.
It's a tutorial.
It's like 3 intro episodes.
Your
what does
inventory
that mean?
Works like this.
I don't know if they're talking about, because she was on Hercules for like a 3-part. She's like an intro episode. And then, like, she gets captured by someone, and then Hercules frees her, and he's like, you should join me. And she's like, I'm gonna go out and do good. And then, you know, everyone's like, go watch Xena, Warrior Princess, Sundays on Fox.
We promise, it's a better show. And don't worry about the monotheism part. You'll get there.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's been so nice to have you, Austin. Thank you so much for coming on and doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's been an absolute joy.
This is the most incredible full circle moment for me in my life.
Aww.
Going from when I first... I'm going to do... Going from when I first met Liza in... we were in line at New York City Comic Con, and I was like, hey, I promise I'm not some weird man. But you have an enamel pin from this podcast. I like, I'm here alone and very afraid of New York. Can I hang out with you?
Yeah.
To being a guest on your show is just so incredible, and I'm so touched, and it's been so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I am so amazed. It was so funny because you were like, I promise I'm not weird. And I was like, oh God, thank God someone's talking to me. Because I was also alone in that line. And then we sat together for like 4 hours to wait for the Across the Spider-Verse panel. And we just decided to like hang out in the exhibition hall all day. And just, it's such a magical thing to have just like this little podcast enamel pin bring us together. And now here we are.
Here we are. Look at what podcasting can do for you, everybody. You too could get your own show and have your friend come on who knows nothing about musicals and talks way too much.
Doesn't matter.
Perfect.
No, it was perfect. We loved having you. We're so grateful. And, you know, we'll be sending everybody to listen to Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries. But please plug away. Where can people find you? They want more. The people need more.
If you want to find me anywhere I want to be found on the internet, you can find me at Sailor Scott Austin. That's at Sailor SCT Austin. You can't find me on my username. I don't want to be found. Stop looking. Don't try. I won't friend you back. I won't let you follow me. If you got the wrong username, you got the wrong person. So find me online making podcast jokes and making jokes about other stuff and see what I'm up to.
Yeah. Listen, folks, if you like this show, you will love Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries, where Austin and co-host Brenda dive into the like lore behind all of the weirdest little facts that you've taken for granted in your life. And it's just endlessly fascinating. And we cannot recommend it highly enough.
Yeah. This past week, we did Slow Motion.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. That's cool. Yeah. Yes. Excellent.
It involves an Austrian priest.
What? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want to know more.
Yeah.
It involves an Austrian priest, a German photo company, and Akira Kurosawa.
Whoa.
Wow. Okay.
I want that combo.
I actually really need to learn more about that. So I will be listening to that episode. We encourage anyone who even sort of enjoys the show to do that as well. Yeah. Thank you again for being here. It's just such an absolute joy.
All right, and to recap all of our scores, because this is our season finale and we have 15 episodes done, unfortunately, in the 15 slot is Ally McBeal with the musical Almost at 47.5 points.
Ouch. Just ouch. At number 14, we have The Simpsons with My Fair Laddie, which came in at 54 points.
And then just 1 point above it, barely squeaking above it at 13th place, is Grey's Anatomy with Song Beneath the Song at 55 points.
We have a little bit of a jump up to number 12, which is My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic's Pinkie Pride, which is coming in at 61 points.
And then a recurring theme just 1 point above that is The Office's Andy's Play at 11th place at 62 points.
And the 10 slot, and so we're now in our top 10, we have Riverdale's Chapter 31, A Night to Remember, which is really only 2 points above The Office. So that's at 64.
I honestly, a little bit shocked. I love that episode. I'm shocked it made the top 10, if I'm being honest. But just above that is Bob's Burgers in 9th place with Work Harder, Die Trying Girl, 66 points for them.
And then we have a substantial jump, I would say, to the 8th spot, which is Futurama's The Devil's Hands Are Idle Playthings. And that's coming in at 75. So we're now in the 70s.
Yeah, in the mid-70s, too. That's quite a jump, you're right. In the 7th slot is The Flash's Duet at 77.5 points.
And then in the 6th slot, we have Scrubs' My Musical, which is 79.
And then we get to the big top 5 here. All of these are bangers. In the number 5 spot is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia with The Nightman Cometh at 80 points, breaking into that 80 barrier.
Oh, so great. Another certified banger. Number 4 is Star Trek Strange New Worlds Subspace Rhapsody, which came in at 83.5 points.
And then just above that, in the 3rd place slot for our season finale episode, you just heard about it, it's Xena's The Bittersweet, 89.5 points, incredibly high for that episode.
Incredible, well-earned, it feels right for it to be there. At number 2, we have probably the upset of the season, I would say. Steven Universe's Mr. Greg came in at 95.5. 12-minute episode, absolutely nailed it.
It's crazy. If you know, you know. I feel like everybody who has seen this episode has been like, yeah, I mean, that should be ranking super high, but I didn't know it was going to do that.
Sure didn't, yeah.
And thankfully, we don't have to rename our show because in the number 1 slot, as we knew it would be, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, once more with feeling, 97 points. I mean, that is going
to
be a...
It's going to be hard to knock it down. It's not impossible. It's not impossible. Steven Universe came out of nowhere and almost got there. If it had been a 30-minute episode...
Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, there are some surprises on here. Personally, I'm actually really surprised that Scrubs and The Flash aren't in the top five. I always felt like... When you talk about musical episodes, those are two that come up all the time. So I'm really surprised to not see them in the top five. But I mean, folks, we're looking at the numbers, okay?
The numbers don't lie. And
the numbers don't lie. And neither do we. And we're very, very objective.
It has been such a pleasure recording this season. Please keep following us at Once More with TV on all the social media handles. We'll be back with season two at some point.
Listen, we'll figure it out, folks.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We'd love to drop some bonus episodes. If there's a musical that you've seen that you want us to cover, just let us know. Slide into those DMs, email us, all that good stuff. But we will be back for season two because there are some big fish still out there.
There's a lot.
We gotta talk about Even Stevens.
We gotta do it. We gotta do it.
We gotta do it. So we'll be back, folks. Make sure you're still subscribed so whenever new episodes drop, you will be notified. All of those good things.
And importantly, thank you, thank you, thank you, as always, and throughout this whole season, to Olivia Broslovsky, our angelic audio architect, and to Sakana Powell, our magnificent marking maven. These two ladies have done so much for us.
They're incredible, wonderful people, and they're basically probably should be nominated as saints for what they've done for us so far.
I think that's how it works. You get nominated, right?
Yeah, right? It's like The Bachelor, where you can like nominate a friend. But as always, guys, be sure to rate and review us, especially on things like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That helps people come to the show. Continue telling your friends about this. And yeah, reach out to us on Instagram or, you know, there's always information in the show notes. It's been such a pleasure and a joy bringing this to you. And we're so excited to do more of it.
And scene.